Thank you. Thank you for another invitation to come and join you. It's always a privilege of mine. I'm very well. There's been no incidents or accidents. We'll get there maybe later. But I'm always very kind of fascinated by the titles that I'm given when to choose from when I'm invited to come and speak to you. And this time I was given a list of titles to choose from, and obviously I have to be able to fit them into the date. So the one I chose was a meditation on Psalm 32 for March the 10th, because it seemed to me to be a walk in the park, really. I'd meditate on Psalm 32 and it would be great. But as you can see, it's not March the 10th, and something kind of went wrong there. That slot had already been taken by someone else by the time I replied, and I'm sure that person did a great job and that you were thoroughly blessed. So I found myself with a more challenging task looking through the titles again, and I came across the title that I chose, but I went over it several times because for me it seemed very complicated, because I thought staying open to God through meditation and quiet time would require me to have meditation and quiet times. And I felt that I couldn't come and speak to you unless I'd spent months and years doing this. And in fact, the Lord challenged me on this, and he said, Victoria, if I wanted you to be perfect before you went and spoke about anything, you'd never be speaking. So I come here today not to tell you I've got it. I'm an authority on it, and I know everything about this, and I have the deepest, longest quiet times in the world. And I meditate day and night. I come not like that. I come through learning, and some sort of encouragement by the Lord that this is where I need to be walking, stepping into. It's been a learning curve, and I've grown over this. And I thank you for these titles, which are always very challenging. So I come this morning just to try and challenge you in a similar way. When I looked at the title then, and I thought, okay, Lord, you want me to do this one. It fits in with my timetable as well. Let's have a look what is it all about? Staying open to God. And I started with the very first word, which was staying. What does stay mean? Because when I first looked at it, I thought, oh, this is all about being close. This is all about closeness. Well, it is. But staying said something else to me. And in fact, to stay, when I looked it up in a dictionary, to stay said to remain in the same place. To remain in the same place. You stay here and you stay here and I'll be back soon. To stay. The Cambridge Dictionary said stay, the verb, meant not to leave. So actually you've got to be somewhere already, haven't you? Not to have left there. So you've got to have arrived. To not move away from or not to leave a place or a situation. So it spoke to me that you are already in a place. We are already in a place to stay close to God. We've got to already have been close to God. And God has invited us to be close to him. In fact, he's the one who got close to us first. And we know from Revelation 3:20 that it was God that made the first move, actually, to get close to us, to be open to us. He invited us to open our hearts to him. And that famous painting, Holman Hunt, that's it. There's a copy in St. Mary's Church. And was it painted in York? That's why there's a copy then in St. Mary's Church, yeah. The Revelation 3:20 says that, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. I just loved the King James Version of that. I will come in to him and sup with him. I come in and have fellowship with him. If you open the door. And the Lord knocks on doors of hearts, doesn't he? He consistently, persistently knocks on the doors of our hearts. And if we have invited him in, he will come in to stay. He's pursued us. He's knocked on our door. We love him because he first loved us. He made the first move. The Bible tells us all the time that he made the first move. We love him because he first loved us, even before we were born. Psalm 139 says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." How precious are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. He made the first move to bring us near, to make us open. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us." Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For it's by grace we are saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God. So God gave us this gift of openness to him. He invited us near. He knocks at the doors of hearts today. I trust that we have all answered the door. Maybe there are some here who haven't. He continues to knock. Even if we've already answered the door, he continues to want to sup with us, to be with us. He knocks on doors of those that are desperate. He knocks on the heart's doors of the old and stiff. He knocks on heart doors of those who have doors closed through pain. He knocks on doors that are closed through bereavement. He knocks on doors closed because of loss. He knocks on doors closed because of illness and difficulty and stress and worry. He continues to knock on the heart's door because he wants to come in and be closed and have fellowship with us. He wants to come in through closed doors. I love these pictures when I was looking at them yesterday. I just thought how far God will go to reach us. How far he has gone to reach us, to knock on our heart's door. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Look at that sheep right out there. I don't know if you can identify with that, but I can sometimes, that I feel right out there in the middle of nowhere. And this one down the bottom, that he will reach down to us wherever we are. He passionately pursues us. And it's like for me that the Cinderella story. I once wrote a short pantomime for my church, and it was Cinderella, because for me that was the story of Jesus. It was the story of the poor girl who was left out of everything, who had nobody love her, who had a prince come and rescue her and fall in love with her. That's the story of Christ, isn't it? And us. He reaches down to us. He is our prince. He knows that slipper belongs to us. And he comes to put that on our feet and clothes us in righteousness and makes us kings and queens in his eyes. From the very beginning, God walked in the garden with Adam. We read that Adam heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and he hid. We only read that once, and it's assumed that the Lord always walked. But we read it once. Adam knew the sound of him walking. So I am assuming that he had done it before. When we let him in, when we open the door, then we are saved. And there is little we can do to make God move from us. He is a stayer. He promises to stay. He will stay close to us. He will stay open to us. His word says, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid or terrified of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. That's in Deuteronomy. In Hebrews, it repeats it. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for God has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. So in this case, if we're staying close to God, if we feel that we're not staying open to God, guess who's moved? He hasn't. He has promised never to move. Never to move. He has promised never to leave us. Who's moved? Well, it's us that's moved. We have taken on a new address. Perhaps we have gone off with distraction, or we've got involved in something which has taken us away, or perhaps we've just grown a little bit cold. How does it happen? Quite easily. I've got a baby granddaughter, that's her on the left with my other two daughters. They're not her, neither of those are her mother. Her name is Marley Grace. And I've spent quite a bit of time with her recently over the Easter period and with a few stints of babysitting. And over the Easter period, we had a nice family get together. And I noticed that Marley Grace will not eat, will not feed from her bottle. She didn't feed all day on Easter because she was so distracted with everybody else around her. Somebody went to give her a bottle, a feed, and she'd start. Then someone would start talking, and immediately her head would turn away from the bottle, and she wanted to know what was going on. She was easily distracted. Feeding, she needs feeding. She needs to have her milk every day. She needs to have it every so many hours because it's only by that she will grow. But no, distraction meant that she would not care. And in fact, that reminds me of another story of people who are distracted. We can be distracted with busyness, can't we? It's very easy to be very busy. I think I'm a busy person, and sometimes you can be too busy to be of good to anybody. And it reminds me of the story of Martha and Mary and the story of the prodigal son, which is why I asked for it to be read. The story of Martha and Mary, I'm sure you all know. The story in which Martha was busying herself around the house. And there's nothing wrong with that sort of busyness at the right time, is there? And we all have things we have to do. I'm sure that a lot of us have jobs as well that we have to go to and things that we have to get on with. But it was at the time that Jesus was in the house. Jesus was in the house. And Mary, her sister, sat just listening. Just listening to what Jesus had to say. And we know that Martha complained about that. She said, no, Lord, make her help me. Make her come and help me. And what was Jesus' words? Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary had perhaps the first quiet time with Jesus. She sat there, and she lapped up what he said. She listened to his every word. There were other things to be done. There were lots of other things to be done. But she had chosen the better way. It was better to give full attention to the Lord. She gave her full attention. And as Mary did, in quiet time, because the title of this is staying close to God, open to God, in quiet time and meditation. In quiet time, it's so easily to be distracted by things around us. by busyness. I don't know how many of you, I do this all the time, sit down and think, I'm going to have a quiet time. Then something runs through your head and you think, I'll just go and do that. I've got other things to do. But Jesus told us this was the better thing. And it's been difficult for me as a busy person to fit in. But how awful is that? To fit Jesus in. He's already in. He wants to spend time with me. Mary recognized that Jesus was supping with her. And she recognized that he was the Lord. And she wasn't moving. She was staying. She had stay power. No matter the pressure put on her by her sister, and I'm sure I've done it. People have come round for dinner, the family have come, and I've done everything. And I've tutted, and I've clattered pots. I've closed cupboards rather loudly. Just, hey guys, I'm in the kitchen, anybody want to come and help? I'm sure Martha did that as well. You know, clomped around. But Mary was staying. She was staying open to the Lord. The prodigal son, in the same way. What did he do? Well, he takes his share and he goes off. He takes his share of his father's wealth. He's living in his father's house. He's living with the father. He's supping with the father every day. And yet he decides that he doesn't want to sup with the father anymore. He wants to go off. And he takes his fill of the money, his share, and he goes off and he fills his life with distractions. Distractions. He forgets about his father in his house supping. And he fills his life with distractions. And it's only when the distractions run out that we read that he came to his senses. He came to his senses in verse 17. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, and he went back home. He came to his senses. And perhaps we need to come to our senses that Father God is with us, won't leave us or forsake us, and he wants to sup with us. Now supper, eating food, is something you have to do daily. We don't just have a family time, you know, once every 6 months, and that's all I'm ever going to eat is when the family come round. It's every day, isn't it? Every day. And Father God wants to do that. Well, the prodigal filled his life with these distractions, and then, of course, what happened? Disaster. Disaster happened. He filled his life with food, friends, finances, and fun, and they all finished. They all finished, and he had to go home. And what happened when he got home? It's an amazing story, isn't it? Where was Father God? Tutting? Throwing pots around and closing cupboards loudly? No, he wasn't. He was there waiting. And in fact, he was looking out the window. He was standing there and saw him coming. And he ran to meet him. He ran to get close to him again. And that's the heart of God. As this pursuer, passionate pursuer of your heart. He wants your heart to be persistently open, constantly open to him every day. Father God is waiting. So you have to stop. If we want to be open to God, we need to stop and come to our senses. And the word of God says, be still and know that I am God. Well, the still there actually means to cease striving, to stop. It's not just emotionless. It's a to stop doing that. Stop striving. Stop trying. Just stop. And that's what Mary did. And that's what the prodigal did eventually. They stopped. Stop. And this is my temptation. Working, stop moving, stop talking, stop texting, stop eating, just stop. And that's what a quiet time is. It's a place of stopping. Of stopping. It's quality time. Because when that goes off, I kind of sometimes am quite proud of the fact that I can do several things at the same time. You know, I've even cultivated the art of having two things on and having two sets of headphones. And listening to one headphone with one ear with something on the radio and another ear having another headphone on with something on my iPad. It's madness, isn't it? That's not stopping. I don't like silence. I don't like stopping. And the Lord has taught me over preparing this. You've got to have some quietness. You've got to stop doing this. You've got to just stop. You've got to be alone with God without the radio, without the TV in the background, without the distractions. Without thinking about the shopping, and spend time with me, in quiet time. And only then will you be open to me. Only then will you get to know me. Get to know me in that deeper way, which is what I want. And I'm sure you want as well. I know this guy. I spend time alone with this guy. This guy is my husband. Good, you're happy about that, aren't you? This guy's my husband. I spend time alone with him. When we were courting, I think that's an old-fashioned word, and I couldn't think what the new one was, but we were courting anyway. When we were courting, we spent time alone together, and it wasn't, sometimes we'd go out to groups, to parties and things like that, but actually I didn't get to know him at parties. I got to know how he could dance, perhaps. But I didn't really get to know him. I got to know him when we went out for dinner. When we spent time together talking. That's when you get to know people, isn't it? When you have some one-on-one time with them. And new couples, I'm sure their priority is not to, oh, let's go and join this party. Let's go there. Where can we go together and just talk? One of my daughters had a boyfriend, and I'm not going to mention because I know this is taped, but had a boyfriend who was a well-known person, right? It was a footballer. And she went out with him and spoke to him, and he was great at parties. He was great when she went to bars. She said to me, but Mum, I don't think he can hold a conversation. It makes a difference, doesn't it? And through conversation, through getting to know someone, you build relationship. You build relationship. That's some of my family. You build relationship with these people because you are with them. You are in relationship with each other, the family of Christ here. But the Lord wants to have relationship with you. He wants you to spend time alone with him in quiet time. And in that way, you will build your relationship with him. Be quiet. Stop still. Now, how quiet is quiet? That's what I ask myself. How quiet is quiet? Well, actually, I think it's pretty quiet. I think it's silent. I think it's silent. Because sometimes, don't we just usher him in prayer, talking and chatting and talking to him. And then when we're done saying what we're going to say, thank you, Lord, I'm off. And I was encouraged by our children's talk this morning, which seemed to be on the same lines. And I thought, Lord, I think you've got a message for us today. That we should spend time in quiet time, yes, praying, yes, talking, but yes, listening. And in quietness, hearing what God has got to say to us. Because it is in quietness that he will speak to us. A still small voice. The still small voice. He wasn't, was he, in the earthquake? He wasn't in the thunder. He wasn't in that storm. He was in the still small voice. Cardinal Robert Farah said, God's first language is silence. God waits for silence to reveal himself. It's not in the drama. And there are some church services that are very dramatic. And there is a place for them. There's a lot of noise and a lot of singing and a lot of clapping and a lot of talking, but not much silence. There is a place for that, but there's a place for silence. Silence with God is never empty. It's full of divine presence. Silence for God is never empty. It's full of divine presence. He's not silent. If you think he's being silent, it's because probably you're not letting him speak. And he wants to speak. Mother Teresa said, in the silence of the heart, God speaks. If you face God in prayer and silence, God will speak to you. There was a very holy priest, she said, who is one of the best theologians she had known. And she said, how close you must be to God. Father, you talk all day about God. And do you know what he said? He said, I may be talking much about God, but I may be talking very little to God. And then he explained, I may be rattling off so many words and may be saying many good things, but deep down, I do not have the time to listen. Because in the silence of the heart, God speaks. So when do we have a quiet time? Well, I'm not here to tell you when and how to do a quiet time. But the Bible suggests that we have them in the mornings. As Jesus did, he got up early in the morning and he went off to pray. The next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. They arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. I rise before dawn and cry for help and put my hope in your words. I'm not a mornings person. And I struggle with this. And as the young child said, under the duvet seems very lovely. Under the duvet. And it is tempting then to go to sleep. I hope somebody won't speak on that and say, actually, God doesn't mind. What a lovely place to go to sleep in the presence of the Lord. But actually, he would like to spend some time talking to you before. He would like to speak to you. He does want you to stay open to him in quiet time and set aside some time for him. And however you want to do that, journal, take a passage and read it and then pray and then just hear God speak to you. There are lots of things, lots of ways you can research that and you can go. There are plenty of apps and things that you can use to help you have a quiet time, or devotionals. I'm sure some of you have devotionals sent to you that you, or My Daily Bread, those sort of notes that you can use to help you in your quiet time. But can I just encourage you to, when you've done them, not quite jump up then, but just spend some time listening and see what God would say. So what about meditation then? Staying close to God, open to God in meditation and quiet time. Meditation, sometimes we think, oh, new age nonsense. Do we think that? It's new age nonsense. But actually, it's mentioned 14 times in Strong's Concordance in the Bible. And that's not working. No, can't get the next slide to come. Never mind. If you can, there's actually a thing on this one, either the next slide or it's got an animation on it. Meditation, it's mentioned 14 times, only twice in the New Testament, and there are two different words for it. One of them is seeker in the Hebrew. Has it crashed? One of them is seeker in the Hebrew, which is seen in Psalm 119. To ponder or to muse, seeker means. And most of the time it's in the Psalms, it is that to ponder or to muse upon, to meditate, to think about, to chew over. If you can worry, can anybody here worry? I'm very good at it. Thank you. Oh, no, it's appeared on mine but not on yours. If you can worry, then you know how to meditate. Because you are meditating on bad stuff, aren't you? You are going over, when you worry, you think about every angle of that, what if that, and then this, and that, and you are chewing over your problems. We can all worry, I'm sure. Although it's a sin, because we should be casting our burdens on the Lord. But it's the same sort of thing which is to meditate on the Word of God, on the things that God's done for us. God does amazing things for us. He's rescued me recently. I said nothing bad happened to me, but I fell down a drain. I was walking along. It's a very long story. Debbie knows most of it, but she helped me out one day of school and carried some things for me, and I put them on the top of my car. And I forgot they were there, and I drove off. And I got home, these things are missing, thank you. These things are missing. So I thought, I'll go back to school, see if they're there. No, of course they weren't. And so I drove home the way I should normally drive. And I found some of the things strewed in the street. And so I picked up these exams and put them in a box. And I got most of them, amazingly, the Lord is good. I got most of them, I think all of them back. And then I went looking for something else that was missing, and I stepped on a drain cover, and it took me down with it. And I wasn't seriously hurt. I was hurt, but when my husband saw the drain, he went, "I am surprised you're alive. Or you haven't broken anything." God was good. God was good. I literally can say he took me out of a miry pit and set my feet on a rock. God is good. I went to California in the summer. In October for a couple of weeks. And I had arranged to stay with an uncle. And this uncle, for 1 week in San Francisco. And then I was going to do 1 week in L.A. with an aunt. In fact, I have five aunts in L.A. And so the week before I'm due to go, I ring my uncle and go, "Uncle, I'm looking forward to seeing you next week." And he went, "Oh, sorry, I can't make it." "What? You can't? I'm coming on my own. I am flying into San Jose. I have never been there before in my life. And you are not going to make it." And I was very down about that. And I spoke to various people, and some were like, "Oh, don't worry about it. What's wrong with you?" And then my son just said to me, "Mum, just give it to the Lord and enjoy yourself. I'm sure he's got something special for you." So I did. God is good. I meditate on this. He was so good. I rang my uncle again and said, "Look," no, in fact, I texted him and I said, "Look, I know you can't have me, but just could you do me one favour? Could you meet me at the airport, because I don't want to hire a car, and I've flown for 11 hours, I don't want to hire a car and drive down the freeway tired in a strange country in a strange city. And he said, okay, I'll come meet you. So I booked myself a hotel. He came to the airport and met me. All the time I'm flying there, I'm thinking, he's so flaky, he might not be there. But Lord, it's an adventure. Lord, you have to be with me. You just have to be with me. I was open to God. For the whole 2 weeks, I found myself being open to God because things just didn't happen as I planned. I booked a hotel, went into the hotel, fine. My uncle said, I'm moving you to another hotel. Can't stay with me, but I'll move you to another hotel. And I'll pay for it. He paid for probably the cheapest hotel in San Jose, and it was awful. But, Lord, you want me here. And every night, I went to sleep with a meditation on. Because I can't sleep alone. I can't sleep, especially in an American hotel room. You know, I had visions of gangsters outside and shootings in the parking lot. So I can't sleep alone. And I just said, Lord, you're going to have to help me sleep. And so I put meditations on. There's a great app that you can get with meditations on. And I slept like a baby every night I was in there in California. Like a baby. I don't do that in my own house when my husband's not here. I slept like a baby. I was open. The blessings of being open to God in meditation, in giving yourself to Him and in listening to Him. I went to hire a car and drive to Monterey. I wanted to go whale watching. So my uncle takes me to the car hire people. I get my debit card out and they go, no, sorry, we don't accept debit cards. Never travel on just a debit card. I don't own a credit card. Can't do it on the debit card. So my uncle went, okay, take my credit card. Well, are you traveling with her, sir? No. Well, we can't take your card then, can we? So I had to Uber it from San Jose down to Monterey, where I'd booked a hotel. Get there. Well, I'll hire a car down here from the airport. It'd be easy, they were told me. Get to the airport. No hire car. So the Lord got me on a train. It was the best train I've ever been on. It was a California coastal train. It takes 8 hours to go from, I got on it at Salinas, and it takes 8 hours to get down to LA. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was just amazing. So I was open to what God would do. I meditated on His word. And the Lord never lets you down. Very quickly, because time has gone. The second meaning of the word for meditate is something called haggah. And that means to utter, to say out loud. So one is reflection. To think on what good things God has done for you. To reflect on God's word. To read passages and chew it over. Word by word, going back to it, like a cow and the grass. Bring it back up and look at it again. That's the first word, sikha. And the second word for meditate is hagar, which is to mutter, to utter, to say out loud, to confess. To speak, to have this always on your lips, the word of God on your lips, to speak out loud. Psalm 1 uses this one. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That's the haggah. He says it out. He tells other people, he tells himself how good God is today, how good God has been to me, how good is his word. He speaks out his word. Blessed is the man. He quotes scripture to himself, he buries it in his heart, and he mutters it to himself throughout the day and night. You've got to know it, to utter it, to mutter it. Have scripture in your heart. Read that scripture. Take it with you for today. Even if it's a bite-sized morsel, the Lord will bless that. Just those daily devotions that have a little verse at the end. Keep that in your heart and utter it. Say it out loud to yourself. Confess it over yourself. Confess it over others. And the Lord will bless. It's used once more. That same Hagar is used in Joshua 8. And God tells, Joshua 1 verse 8, God tells Joshua to have this on his lips. And he goes on to say, this will prosper you and give you success. So meditation not only will keep you open to God, but it will prosper you and bring you success. Finally, obviously I'm not working. Finally, James says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Well, he hasn't moved. It's you coming back to him. In the lost son, the father hadn't moved. He went afar off. Maybe we have. Or maybe we've just left the room. Is Jesus sitting in the kitchen of your life, waiting for you to come back and have a meal? Have you left him sitting there waiting? He gets up and looks for you. He gets up and looks for you. He's waiting for you to come back and spend time in quietness, in meditation, of his word, reading his word, chewing over it, confessing it, speaking it out to others. In quiet times of prayer, study of the word, listening, meditating, reflecting, and confessing. And I really wanted to preach about Jacob, so I'm going to add him in on the end. I spent a lot of time looking at him. When he wrestled with God, he ended by saying he recognized who he was with. And the angel or God, whoever we think that was, said, let me go, it's nearly morning. And he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And that's how I'd like to encourage you to be in your prayer times, in your quiet times, in your times of meditation and reflecting. Don't let go until you hear from him, until he blesses you. Because it's only when we're blessed that we can be a blessing to others as well and encourage them. May the Lord bless you.